The title of the message is called The Unsung Hero, and we're going to look at Joseph this morning because he's one of my unsung heroes. You know, I had a guy in my church back about 13 or 14 years ago now. His name was Jack. Jack Goldney was a World War II veteran. Jack went out on a volunteer mission behind enemy lines with a couple of other guys and his lieutenant during the war in Europe. Jack was crawling on his hands and knees behind enemy lines, and they came to a small footbridge. And when they got to the footbridge, they stood up and they began to walk across the bridge. And enemy machine gun fire started to wail away at him and his lieutenant and the other guys in his squad. And Jack jumped over the bridge into the water, into the creek bed. Two of the men that he was with were killed, and yet his lieutenant was actually riddled with bullets. Jack crawled up out of that creek, and he put that lieutenant on his back, and he belly crawled that lieutenant over 1,000 yards back to his camp. Jack never got any kind of reward for that. Jack accepted Christ when he was 84 years old, and a dear guy in my church. And it took a year or two later after his death where finally he was awarded the Silver Star for his bravery. You know, there are a lot of unsung heroes in our lives, aren't there? People that oftentimes do things behind the scenes. They don't get all of the accolades. They don't get the headlines. But they're faithful. They have integrity. And they do things that go beyond sometimes the day of call of duty. And God knows that. And this morning I want to encourage you, as we look at Joseph's life, to realize that here's a guy that was only mentioned in Scripture in a few verses. And we don't hear anything more about Joseph. But as I studied Joseph a little bit more deeply, as we are this morning, you're going to discover that I think he was an unsung hero. Let's read about it again in Matthew chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can listen to it and follow along with me. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, and I want you to notice that it took some time for Joseph to come to this decision. He took some time to consider this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, you notice Joseph took him into his home. That's very typically what happens in the Middle East. If you've ever been over to Israel, when I was in Jordan a few years ago, people, when a husband or a son or a daughter got married, they often would come into the family home and they would build another layer on top of that house, and they would have two or three stories, and they would actually live together as one big happy family. How would you like that, folks? Okay. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I want you to notice some things about Joseph here for a moment. First of all, because Joseph was a righteous man, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had two decisions, right? Many of you know this. One decision was to turn her over to the law, because if she was actually a person who had gotten pregnant out of wedlock, she could easily be stoned to death. And that was a decision that Joseph had to make. Do I take this woman that I'm betrothed to, that I'm engaged to, and do I turn her over to the law and allow her to be stoned to death? Or do I kind of take her into my home and try to protect her and take her in privately and then divorce her at that point? So that was a decision that Joseph had to make. And those had tremendous implications. So Joseph, being a righteous man, decided to take the high road. He took the high road and he decided to take her into his home, which was really a huge risk. You can imagine the kind of gossip that was going around Nazareth during that day. Nazareth was a dusty, dirty little town up in the hills, and it was sort of a crossroads for a lot of people travel through. It might be like today's Yuma, or, as you think about traveling through a town. And so, consequently, there was a small enough town, too, where there was a lot of scuttlebutt and gossip, and Joseph must have been putting up with all kinds of criticism and backlash from the standpoint of what he was just doing. But I want you to notice that an angel appears to Joseph, right? Now, we don't get that opportunity very often, do we? How many of you had an angel appear to you on a frequent basis? Okay. Well, here's what happens. So an angel appears to Joseph, and what the angel does is that he reminds Joseph that he's the son of David. I want you to catch that because I think it's really important, because when you think about Joseph, he was nothing more than a carpenter. He was a blue-collar worker working in a dusty, dirty town of Nazareth, betrothed to this young girl who was probably about 14 years old. Now, he was there, and he was in this position of really trying to operate from integrity, and yet he wakes up and he realizes that one thing that he was reminded of is that he is the son of David. It reminded him of his heritage, reminded him that his identity was not just being a carpenter. It was more than that. Joseph, you have a heritage to keep in mind. You have a background. You have a legacy of being one of the sons of David and the part of those generations who was the king that they had been so proud of in their history. And so Joseph wakes up and he realizes that he's reminded that he's not just a carpenter. And sometimes we need to understand that in our own lives, that our identity is not in our profession, it's not in our vocation, our identity is in our legacy that's been given to us by Jesus Christ. So there was no hesitation whatsoever in terms of what Joseph did. So he takes Mary into his home, and as I said, that was a big deal. Because he was really saying, I'm committed to you, Mary, because you're going to come into my family's home, and you're going to be a part of our family. He takes Mary into his home, and then he decides to wait. He keeps her being a virgin during this period of time. And I think about, here's an interesting part of Joseph's life that kind of blows my mind. Here's a young man who could have probably cohabited with Mary to protect her at least, and at least cover some of the gossip that was going on in town and some of the backlash that he was feeling. And yet Joseph knew that if this was going to be a virgin birth, if this is going to be an immaculate conception, if this was going to be done by the Holy Spirit, then I need to back off and I need to just wait when it comes to consummating this marriage relationship. And so Joseph, during the whole period of her pregnancy, kept her pure and holy as a virgin until she was given birth to the baby Jesus. Now, I want you to have a little intermission here, because I want you to go on, because that's all we hear about Joseph, right? He has this dream. The angel appears to him. He does the right thing. He operates with integrity. He takes the high road. He keeps her a virgin until she gives birth to Jesus, okay? Now, I want you to come over to chapter 2, verse 13 with me. So we'll take a little intermission here, because the next time we see Joseph, we see him in another predicament. If you remember, Herod, the king, was definitely jealous of the fact that there possibly was a new Hebrew king that was born. And if you remember, he made a decree to his kingdom that all two-year-old babies and younger, because he knew theoretically that somehow this baby, this Hebrew king that was born, was born in the last 2 years. And so he was going to have all these two-year-olds killed, right? You remember that story? Well, in verse 13, Joseph has another dream. It's fascinating to me that the only two Josephs we know a lot about Scripture were all a bunch of dreamers, okay? All right? Here's verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So Joseph has a second dream now. In the second dream, the angel appears to him and says, Joseph, you got to get out of Dodge here. There's a problem going on. All the two-year-olds are going to be killed, so I want you to go to Egypt. So verse 14, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet out of Egypt, I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity and were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. So Herod was furious. He'd gotten outwitted because the Magi, if you remember, came. The wise men came to worship Jesus in Jerusalem at that time, because Jesus was no longer in the manger. We know that the wise men did not visit Jesus in the manger. They came, and they were. Herod wanted to figure out where these guys had seen this baby, and the Magi decided, no way. And to me, that's why the wise men are really wise. They didn't listen to Herod, they listened to God. And they moved on, okay? So Herod was pretty ticked off. So verse 18, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they were no more. After Herod died, and we don't know how long this took, because apparently Herod died fairly soon after Joseph and Mary left for Egypt, within probably 2 to 3 years. So after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, dream number three, right? Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, dream number four, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. Now, I want you to get this. This is it. This is the cameo appearance of Joseph. We don't really know any more about him whatsoever. We don't see him at the foot of the cross when Mary was there. We don't know any more about his life other than the fact that we do know that they went to the temple to worship. And you remember Jesus was left there when he was 12 years old. But Joseph had a cameo appearance here, but I want to share with you this morning that I believe he was an unsung hero. And I hope that as I go through these qualities of Joseph with you this morning, that you will be able to evaluate and assess your life to see whether you qualify as an unsung hero. Because there are some great qualities here that I think are really important that Joseph manifests in this brief moment, this brief appearance. The first one is this: an unsung hero does the right thing no matter what the cost. Joseph was a righteous man. His integrity was important. It was a non-negotiable. He wanted to follow the law, yet he still needed to take the high road. I remember a situation in my own life a number of years ago where I had to let somebody on my staff go. It was not a very pleasant thing. There were some character issues that I could have easily thrown him under the bus for. And I remember going to a counselor and saying, as I let this person go, I really don't want to throw him under the bus. I don't want to really knock his character. I don't want to put him down. I just want it to be a fairly simple firing, if that's possible. And so he reminded me, he said, you know, what I would do is I would take the high road, and I would just say, you know, we've had some chemistry issues here at the church, and it's time for this person to leave. Well, I took the high road, and it was a tough, tough decision for me. And boy, did I pay the price. There was a lot of criticism, a lot of backlash. And it's not always easy, right, to take the high road. And it wasn't easy for Joseph, because I can't imagine the kind of backlash that he must have experienced when he took Mary in and people around town began to know that this was a pregnant woman. But he took the high road. And sometimes the high road is not an easy place to be. But it's where we need to maintain our integrity and our godliness and our righteousness. We need to remember that Joseph was a righteous man and he took the high road. That's what an unsung hero does. And there's probably situations in your own life right now where you're maybe tempted to say, you know what, I need to get revenge. I need to fight for this. I need to be critical or judgmental of that. And at that point, you need to be able to say, wait a minute, I'm going to take the high road. Isn't that what Jesus did? He took the high road when he went to the cross. Here's the second thing that I see about Joseph. An unsung hero will protect the reputation of others. An unsung hero will protect the reputation of others. How many times do we hear people criticizing, gossiping, talking behind each other's backs? But here was a young man who said, wait a minute. I don't get this totally about why Mary's pregnant. And before he even heard from the angel, he was willing to take the high road. He wanted to protect Mary's reputation at all costs. And there might be somebody in your own life right now that's really struggling and you want to protect their reputation. It was really hard for me just even a few weeks ago. A few of you know that I'm a chaplain for YCSO, our sheriff's department, and I actually had an opportunity to go down and meet with an inmate who had recently murdered his wife. And, you know, his reputation obviously was pretty bad in town here. Some of you probably know who I'm talking about. But I thought it was important for me until he was proven guilty to protect his reputation. And it was hard for me, and I had an opportunity to spend time with him, and he came to the Lord, in fact, in the process, and God's using it. But sometimes we need to, even though some people have serious reputation issues, it's not our job to ruin their reputation. It's not our job to run them into the ground. And here is a guy who thought, you know what? I don't care what's going on here with Mary. Even though I don't fully understand it, I'm going to protect your reputation until all the facts come out. And they did when the angel appeared to him. Here's the third thing. An unsung hero understands his true identity. You remember when the angel appeared to Joseph, he said to Joseph, listen, you are the son of David. You're a descendant of David. You've got royal bloodlines. Do you remember what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2? He reminded us that all of us are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Sometimes we forget who we really are. Have you ever noticed that? Some of you today, somebody to walk up to you on the street and say, yeah, how are you? Yeah, and so what do you do? Well, I was, because before I was a child, I was an engineer, or I was a teacher, or I was a doctor. Or if you're presently working today, you say, well, you know, I'm a police officer, I'm this, or I'm that. Well, wait a minute. If we're a child of God, what is our true identity? You know, I struggled a lot when I left my consulting ministry with our denomination. And I kind of went into what I would call a semi-retirement mode. And a lot of you can understand this, those of you who are sitting here. And sometimes when we go into that retirement mode, all of a sudden, everything that we've poured our life and energy into all of our lives is suddenly gone. And we can't live in the past. And we don't know exactly what the future is. But it's really, really critical for us to understand it's not Tom the pastor. It's not Tom the consultant. It's Tom the child of the king. We're all a part of a royal priesthood. And some days when we struggle, we feel like we're worthless and we really don't have any value to our lives or to family or to people anymore because we're not working or we're finding our value in other things. But remind us again of here is a young man who was simply just a carpenter in the back roads of the northern part of Israel. He was up in this dusty little town, totally obscure. And God says, wait a minute, Joseph, you are a child of the king. You are a part of a royal priesthood. Do you all believe that this morning? Do you believe that really where your identity really lies is not in what you do, but who you are in Christ? That's what I think an unsung hero understands. Here's the fourth thing that I see about Joseph. Unsung heroes understand that when their world is falling apart, God might be having the pieces fall into place. Did you get that? Unsung heroes understand that when their world is falling apart, God may be having the pieces fall into place. You know, Joseph's world was completely blown away. I mean, these were arranged marriages. He was preparing for this whole betrothal period of about approximately a year. You know, all the plans are being made, and everything blew up just like you saw on the screen. Joseph, I'm pregnant. My world is a mess. My world is falling apart. But in hindsight, we look back at what happened there and we say, while Joseph's world was falling apart, God was putting together a great plan for his life to be the stepdad to the Son of God. Is that amazing? And for some of you right now, some of you are feeling like maybe your world's falling apart a little bit. Maybe it's health issues, maybe it's family issues, relational issues, financial issues, and you feel like the world's falling apart. And I really believe that sometimes when our world is falling apart, it's an opportunity for God to have the pieces just fall into place. And you can testify to that. Some of you who have lived this life a lot longer than I have, you can look back in your life and you can think, well, those were moments that were really broken and frustrating and confusing, and yet God all along had a plan, amen? And he's putting that puzzle piece together. You see, unsung heroes realize that God's working his plan. God's making it happen, regardless of sometimes how we see our circumstances. And Joseph was able to see that. Here's the fifth thing. When unsung heroes hear a command from God, they do not hesitate to obey. And some of you are saying this morning, well, yeah, if an angel appeared to me, I wouldn't hesitate either, right? Four times, if an angel appeared to me, you got it. 10-4, God, I got it, right? Do we have the Word of God? We got it in black and white. And yet sometimes we ignore it. We don't listen. How much listening do we do in our prayer life? You know, I believe that God still wants to speak to us. Do you? When God speaks to you, do you hesitate? Maybe some of you right now are hearing from the Lord on some things. You've been prompted by the Holy Spirit a little bit, and you think you should probably do this or you think you should probably do that, but you're hesitating, and yet you know that's what God's saying. You see, an unsung hero says, 10-4, Lord, I got it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to make it happen. Joseph did that. He didn't hesitate. Every time Joseph had a dream, what did he do? He immediately got up and did exactly what God called him to do. Here's the sixth thing. Unsung heroes can be trusted to handle the most challenging tasks. I don't know about you, but as a parent, I don't think I'd want to raise the Son of God. Because I know they'd be raising me, right? Can you imagine raising a perfect child? Now, some of you have probably done that. But think of what God trusted Joseph with. Joseph, you're the man. You're the son of David. You're a part of a royal priesthood. And I believe in you, buddy. You can do this. What a challenge for Joseph. Not only to handle all of the backlash and maybe criticism that he was receiving during the pregnancy, but the challenge of raising a little boy, to a point where he became, you know, an incredibly, or was the Messiah. What an amazing challenge. My question to you, can you be trusted to handle those challenging tasks? You know, for some of you, we've got a guy in our church over at Cornerstone. His name is Jack Butler. Some of you maybe know Jack. Jack has ALS. Jack has been in a bed, bedridden for months. Jack is on Facebook all the time, and Jack is always trying to minister to people. And his challenging task is ALS. But you know how faithful that brother is. That brother just a few weeks ago put on his Facebook, he said, I am so thankful that I can still move two fingers to move a mouse on my computer so that I can still have ministry in people's lives. I went to see Jack myself here a few weeks ago, and I needed a boost because I've been struggling with this cervical, whatever, genic vertigo in my neck, and I've had a few dizzy moments here this morning already, and I was feeling down on myself and like, you know, this is so frustrating, Lord. So I went to see Jack to be encouraged. You know, I went to encourage Jack too, and you know, before I left, you know what he did? He prayed for Pastor. That's an unsung hero, folks. That's a guy who gets it. You talk about a challenging task that he's facing in his life, but he's still being used by God. Here's the seventh thing I see about Joseph. Unsung heroes make sure their family has security in their home. You see, when Joseph was challenged with the thing from the angel and said, hey, look, you've got to protect your family. You got to get out of town here because Herod's out there to kill all the two-year-old babies. So you got to get out of town here. You need to get over to Egypt and get away for a while. Whatever that takes, Joseph, because your family is the most important priority in your life right now. And you need to protect your family. You need to make sure your family is secure. And I think unsung heroes do a good job of that. They understand that their family is a precious gift to them, and that whatever it takes, they need to make sure that their family is secure and protected and honored. And Joseph did that. Let me close with something here that I want to share with you too. Joseph was truly an unsung hero when you think about it. He was never mentioned by name other than the scripture we've just read. We don't hear about him later, even when Jesus was crucified. We don't know what happened to Joseph. But there's a beautiful piece here, and this is the eighth thing I want to share with you this morning, and that's this. Unsung heroes don't need the earthly recognition because they know that God has noticed. Even though we don't notice anything more about Joseph, in fact, when we talk about the Christmas story, how much time have we spent on Joseph? Really, it's all about Mary, right? It's all about the Magi. It's all about the shepherds. It's all about the angels. Joseph had this cameo appearance. And yet, I see all these qualities in this young man that are so priceless and so amazing. And it's sad that I had to take the time, to be honest with you, and study Joseph to this point to bring out these issues because it was such a cameo appearance. But you know what's really cool? God noticed. God noticed. And there are going to be times in your own lives where you've done some things that were heroic and quiet and behind the scenes and something that's not been made it in the headlines. But someday, friend, you're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to look you in the eye and he's going to say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Do I hear an amen? That's what unsung heroes know. I can think of many, many moments in my own life of doing ministry over the past 45 years. And I think, you know, did I get a thank you? No. Did I get a pat on the back? Did I get an attaboy? Did I get a big gift? Did I, you know what? You know who really matters? Nothing goes unnoticed by our Lord. Amen. And I know that Joseph, the day that he met Jesus face to face again, or when he was in glory, that Joseph knew that God knows. Do you? Do you believe that this morning? I believe there's a room full of unsung heroes sitting here. But as you look through those eight qualities, I trust that you're living out those eight qualities just like Joseph did. I know I want to in my own life. I trust that you would want to in your life. Shall we pray together this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this young man. He's probably no more than 16 or 17 years old who really had it together. Quietly, humbly, with great integrity and love, he did what you asked him to do. And God, I pray as we walk out of here this morning, that as we reflect on these eight qualities, that this would be a room full of unsung heroes, so that someday when they stand before you, Jesus, they would be able to say, well done. Thank you for this illustration in our own lives this morning of a guy, just a lowly carpenter, but a royal priest. Remind us of that, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen.